Today on Real Radio.
The Bible stumps them all. The writings of the Jehovah Witness, the writings of the Quran, the writings of the Book of Mormon, the Bible stumps them all. Satan cannot produce prophecy accurately.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 21 records for us key inquiries posed to Jesus regarding church age and end times events. Parallels are also found in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. And the Messiah issues some stark warnings. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus.
The Olivet Discourse is covered by three other gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it. Notice this, and church, are you with me? Watch my hands. Whenever you read the Bible, as a student of the Bible, don't think for a moment, well, this verse seems to contradict the one in Matthew. Oh, not at all. When you read the gospel specifically, and certainly Bible prophecy, that is God speaking about the future in advance, check this out. A transparent overlay is Matthew. A second transparent overlay with other features is Mark. Another transparent overlay with other features is Luke. Another transparent overlay is the Gospel of John. So that when you look at the four Gospels, there's a reason why God gave them from four different angles. It's because as you read them together, it causes you to understand a more full, clear picture of what's taking place. Now, you read right here in verse 5 that it says, as some spoke of the temple. Matthew 24, verse 1 says of this very same moment, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings in the temple. So now we know something. Those who spoke to him were his disciples. Look at Mark 13, 1. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings these are? So what do you understand? We understand that one of his disciples spoke to him. It caused the other disciples to speak to him so that one of the gospel writers said some of those who were with him spoke to him. Isn't that beautiful about the Bible? It's always written that way that you might understand more fully. But why is Jesus, listen to this, why is Jesus so obviously there at the temple, ministering as he is, but why are they so obviously trying to show Jesus something about the temple? The surprise thing is, by most scholars, and possibly by the disciples, is why isn't Jesus making a comment about the great temple and how wonderful it looks? Church, we don't have the time to get into it, but I'll simply say this. On the Temple Mount, where the temple stood, the temple rose 13 stories tall. The Roman government declared that it was one of the ancient wonders of Rome and its empires, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. It was trimmed in gold and polished with a brilliant white marble. Josephus, an eyewitness of the temple, said that from the area of the Jordan River area valley out towards the Dead Sea, that if as you were going towards Jerusalem, you could see the temple when the rising sun hit the temple. Josephus says it looked like there were two suns, one rising in the east and one rising in the west, because it was trimmed in gold. It was absolutely spectacular. And they're wondering why Jesus isn't gawking at it, why Jesus isn't freaking out over it. And they say, Jesus, look, most scholars believe by the word uses that Jesus is not so concerned about the temple. He's not too interested in it. And I think that's very true. My friend, listen, this morning, God is not very interested in buildings that you and I can make with human hands. God is interested in your life being his temple. Maybe this morning some of you are here. You need to open up the door of your heart and understand that Christ wants to use you as a place of dwelling. He wants to have you as a temple where he lives. You need to keep that in mind. So he says in verse 6, these things that you see, these things that you are excited about, these things that you love so much, these things that announce to you that God is in this place, a physical building, the days will come in which not one stone of them will be left upon another, but that shall not be thrown down. Jesus is prophesying the fall of the temple in Jerusalem. You say, Jack, how does that have to do with history and why it should prepare me for the future? Because, my friend, this is awesome. Bible prophecy is God announcing history in advance. You want to write that down? Don't you think that's kind of cool? How come you didn't say ooh or ah about that? Bible prophecy is God telling us history in advance. That's what he's doing. Jesus is announcing that everything that you see is going to come tumbling down. Church, it would be equivalent to you and I going to Washington, D.C. today and somebody walking by and saying, you see that White House? You see that Washington Memorial? You see that Capitol building? It's all coming down. Not one stone will be left upon another. It's going to come tumbling down. And you might think or feel that's impossible. That can't happen. Well, imagine a Jew standing at the temple where God is to meet with you. And Jesus says the thing that is not even able to be brought up in their minds. Jesus says, it's all coming down. They would have been shocked. That's radical. Why is he saying such things? Well, listen to this. God knows the future. Jesus Christ is God, the Bible says, in human flesh, and he knows the future. And on August 29th, 70 AD, the General Titus, son of Emperor Vespasian, commanding the 5th Roman Legion, came into Jerusalem and sacked the temple, gutted the temple. The temple began to catch fire and began to burn. The gold around the edifice of the temple began to melt. And guess what happened? As the stones were torn down to reclaim the gold, not one stone was left upon another. My friend, that's not only biblical history. You can find that in the annals of Rome and in all history. The temple was torn down and the Romans took away the gold that had melted between the cracks of the rocks. And the stones were absolutely removed from one another. And some of them you could view today if you went to Israel. Now, our screens are not working today. We're upgrading the system and we have stones to show you, but you can't see them. So maybe we'll sneak them in next week or so. But you say, Jack, is that really true? That really happened? Not one stone left upon another. And you can view it with your own eyes. In antiquity, God preserved them for us. And many of you in this church saw those stones when we were in Jerusalem. Exactly what Jesus said. You can trust God's word, my friend. He does not give you his word to terrify you. He gives you his word to prepare you. And you and I are living in radical times. Don't fall asleep in the midst of these difficult days spiritually. You need to wake up like never before with all that's taking place. The world is in turmoil, and it's amazing. We don't need to panic. We need to praise God. In Isaiah 46, 9, mark it down. It's great. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God says, remember the former things, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that have not yet been done. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? That's my God. I'm talking about my God. Isaiah 48, 3 says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth. I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass. Because I knew that you were an obstinate people, and your neck was on iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done this. My carved images and my molded images have spoken these things. God knows our hearts. We can point to somebody and say, the Bible speaks about, in perfect detail, prophecy. The past and the future, perfectly. And somebody might say, oh, you know what? So did Nostradamus speak about things. 73% Nostradamus, he's guilty of being a false prophet. God is not 73%, not 74% accurate. God is 100% accurate. I got to tell you right now, that's why I'm a believer personally. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible because God has proven it to me from the authenticity and accuracy of his Bible, of his word. I love it. My faith is founded upon fact, and I hope yours is as well. He's an awesome God, and Jesus speaks, and he expects you and I to know what time it is by looking around at the world in which you and I live in. It's an amazing thing to realize that in all the characteristics of God, and of course Jesus Christ, is this word omniscient. The omniscience of God, it's a characteristic of not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but of course God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. To be omniscient, it's all-knowing, omni, and scient, all-directional knowing. He knows everything. And when you study the theological term of that, check this out. It means that he has all knowledge, watch, possessing all knowledge of, number one, all that can be known, God knows it. Here's the fun part. You expect God to know everything that can be known. Here's the part that's fun, because some of you might get into like some sort of philosophical thought on that. You're tempted maybe to think in a philosophical way. The word also means that God also knows what can be imagined. It's also referred in theological terms as the decree, not degree, but decree of God. It's a prerogative of God. You and I don't have it. And here's what it is. God knows what you're going to have for lunch today. You may or may not know. In fact, you think you know. You're saying today, I'm going to go after service and get me a number two fish tacos, black beans and rice at Wahoo's. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. But that hope is based upon faith that Wahoo's will not run out of that fish taco. So I'll go through third service a little faster than this service. Why? Because the specter looms that they could run out of fish. What if they do run out? What will I then pick? I don't know. But guess who knows? God does. You say, well, Jack, wait a minute, I have a problem with you. I have a problem with that. What if you do get the Wahoo's and do get number two fish tacos and you do sit down and eat it? I will praise the Lord. But you didn't pick number two, and you said God knew what you would pick number two. If you picked the second choice, your second choice, he's going to know the second choice. But what if you got your first choice, what you wanted, and you didn't get the second choice? Listen, God knows what we would have done if we would have gone down that route. He knows the outcome of it, even though you and I never went down that road. Is that not awesome? Can someone say amen? God is so great. Well, what's going to happen if I do this? I don't know. But he knows. Well, you know what? I went and picked the door number one, and let's make a deal. I should have picked door number two. God would have known. God does know if you would have picked door number two. Well, then how come God didn't have me pick door number two? Because God knows what's best. He's amazing. He's amazing. So keeping that in mind, John chapter 18, verse 4. John 18, 4 says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, he went to the cross. Jesus knew everything. Why is the study of the future events in Bible prophecy and here in Luke chapter 21 so important? Mark these things down. I'm going to give you six quick things. Bible prophecy should be embraced by every Christian. I kid you not, church. I have had Christians tell me, can you let me know when you're going to speak about future events? Because I don't like to hear them and I can't come on those Sundays. I'm not joking. I don't understand that. Because listen, what's your perspective? Prophecy scares me. Why? It shouldn't scare you. Jesus said, I told you these things in advance that you might know. You see, for the believer, prophecy ends good. It leaves a good taste in your mouth. It leaves you with the last bit of news, which is the best. Have you read the book of Revelation? I know you have. Read the end of the book. We win. It's glorious. Read the end of the book. I remember when I first got my first Bible. I was 19 years old. I've got a Bible. I read the book of Revelation. I read the last part of the book first. Listen, you read the last part of the book because I'm terrible about that. I want to see how it ends. Oh my goodness, I know what side to be on. This is pretty awesome. And then you can read the whole rest of the book knowing, I know how. This is looking scary here in Leviticus. Oh, it's not looking so good here in Psalms. Oh my goodness, what about 1 Kings? Don't sweat it. Read the end of the book. You see how it ends. It's awesome. It's good news. It speaks to the guarantee of your salvation, Bible prophecy does. Did you know that your salvation is prophetic? I don't want to talk about future things. Well, honey, you better, because your salvation is in eternity, and that's future. How important is that to you? Number two, it creates confidence and boldness in your life. You know God's in control. Three, it causes you and I to see the events of our lives more clearly. We understand. Look, we see more clearly. You in this church see more clearly than most people, not because you come to this church, but because you know the Bible. America seems to be just going down the tubes. That has to happen. Read Bible prophecy. The Bible says Israel's got to stand alone with no help from anybody. We're the only country helping Israel. So for Bible prophecy to come true, what has to happen? We have to stop helping Israel. Where's the direction our government's going? Not helping Israel. Does it break our hearts? Yep. Do we pray against it? Yep. But listen, God said, hey, Israel will be all alone in the last days just before I come back. Wow. I see more clearly. Number four, it calms your mind and your emotions. God's in control. Doesn't God say to you, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you? Doesn't God say to you, cast all your cares upon me and I'll care for you? That is a prophetic utterance of your personal life. Will you have a tendency to worry next Tuesday? Yes. Jesus says, I've already thought of next Tuesday for you. I've taken care of it, so throw it over to me. How good is that? You wake up on Tuesday and you say, woohoo, Tuesday, here I come. Tuesday ought to be shuddering at your appearance. Number five, it increases your faith in God and His Word. By the way, your book, the Bible, oh, listen, if you're in a cult today and you kind of came on in here to find out what's going on, check this out. Your cult books wish that they had accurate prophecies. The Bible stumps them all. The writings of the Jehovah Witness, the writings of the Quran, the writings of the Book of Mormon, the Bible stumps them all. Satan cannot produce prophecy accurately. It's an awesome thing to realize. And then finally, it repeatedly demonstrates to you that your God is real. The real Jesus Christ speaks about the future with absolute accuracy and never makes a mistake. You say, why do you bring that up? You act like there's other Jesuses. Paul the Apostle said there is. There are Jesuses that people create. There's the Jesuses of the cults, as I mentioned a moment ago. The Jesus of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. Not even close. Not even close. Completely different. Also, keep this in mind. He expects you and I to know what time it is. It's time that you and I know that we're ready. Are you ready to meet Christ? How do you know that? Look at verses 7 and 8. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be? That's a great question. And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? Verse 8, and Jesus said to them, mark it, everybody. Take heed that nobody deceives you. Technically, we don't need to go any further than this. Will you mark that? Take heed that no, or that you're not deceived. Don't be fooled. Isn't it funny? Jesus could have said 1,000 different things. Hey, when's all this going to happen, Jesus? You know, I want to add this. God bless the disciples. You know, they were a lot of boneheads. Remember, they made a lot of mistakes. You know what? You and I would have made the same mistakes. We make fun of them a lot. You know, Peter always sticking his foot in his mouth. You know what? I thank God Peter was there. In fact, Jesus said to those guys, you know what? You've been with me all the way through my trials. God bless those disciples. You know what blows my mind here? You and I in the West, we cannot relate to the magnitude of what he had just delivered into their ears. It's all coming down, you guys. Where you guys have been meeting God, where you guys think that this is the religious icon, geographical GPS place of the earth, it's nothing. It's coming down. They didn't run away from Jesus with their beanies on fire or their turbans burning and saying, you know what, you have my feelings. Jesus, you made us upset. He told them the truth. And you know what they said? They said, wow, when? I pray that's our response today. When? When will these things be? What will be the sign of the end? And my friend, remember this. He's going to be speaking about, in a few moments, the end of the age as it relates to Israel and the world. Don't be deceived. It's a tremendous statement. He wants to leave this in their ears, and there's a great reason for it. His disciples are hoping, by the way, no doubt, to secure a date from him. Jesus, set us a date. Set us a time. Give us a day. When's this going to happen? Jesus is not interested. Listen, Jesus is not interested in setting dates. Anybody being operated and conducted and under the influence of the Holy Spirit will never say that the Lord is coming back on this day and at this hour. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. That's very important. Now, Paul the Apostle did say, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you. clearly the believers will begin to discern the times and the seasons in which the Lord's return is near. But nobody will know the day or the hour. He expects you and I, my friend, to know what time it is, and are you ready? He says in verse 8, take heed, watch out. You guys, if I could show you the word take heed, I would have to be standing here with a Roman gladiator's suit on. I would have to be in a certain position, and I would have my sword and my shield, and I would be taking heed. That's what the word means. Jesus said, I want you to get into the stance of a Roman soldier that's about ready to take on a war and take on an army, and you get ready, and that's how you live the rest of your life. Against what? Against deception. Am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. You guys, you need to be like this, ready against deception. Looking. Are you visiting this church today? You need to be looking at me like this right now. You don't know me. You need to be listening like this, judging everything that's said against the Bible. When you turn on the radio, when you hear somebody, it doesn't matter if they're a believer or not. You need to be in that place of judging against the Word of God. Is this right? Is this good? Is this of the Lord? Does this jive with Scripture? Is the Spirit of God working? Is He speaking? We are to be taking heed. It's a strong military term, and do not be deceived. Tremendous statement that is. The word deceived in Greek means this, to cause to roam away from a single path. It means to wander off into danger, to go into a region that's uncharted. Man, if you're a sailor, you never go into uncharted waters, you're nuts. To go astray, the word means to err. Listen to this, the word also means to be seduced. To be seduced by Satan and his spiritual workers. And I want to say something that's probably not popular, but it sure is accurate. There's more satanic seduction taking place today from pulpits in churches than I believe at any other time in world history. You say, well, man, I haven't seen anybody with fangs in the pulpit with a red cape and red underwear and a pitchfork. You're not going to either. The Bible warns us that there'll be people in pulpits, there'll be people that are leaders in spiritual pursuits, and they look like angels of light. Have you ever seen an angel of light? I haven't. But they got to be cool looking. So cool that they can deceive, if possible, even the very elect of God. Amazing. Are you ready to take on the age in which you and I are living in of deception? And one of the questions I have in my life is, how far have we already been deceived by things? You say, Jackie, I'm a Christian. I can't be deceived. Listen, we can be deceived. We can be snookered. I don't know what snookered means, but it sounds like deception. He's been snookered. You don't want to be snookered. I'm sure this Greek word would also add there, snookered. To cause to roam off the path, to fall away. It's an amazing time we live in.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus. A look at what is often called the Olivet Discourse as found in Luke 21. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter examination of this eyewitness narrative, which will resume a week from Monday here on Real Radio. Next week, being Passion Week, we'll be hearing part of a series called Only Jesus. You don't want to miss that. Even if you're not a believer. Now, if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other believers. Then, of course, if you've got something to share with us, let us know. You can tell us right then and there, realradioactive.org, and click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.